Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is June 14th, 2003. Today's session is The Gospel According to Mayberry, Session 5, Pride, presented by Barbara Mela Swanson. Let's listen in.
Qualities of humble people that we admire. What are they able to do?
Calmness.
Calmness and centeredness.
They're experts in some area, but they don't tout them.
Okay. And they don't tout their expertise and may well be willing to share that expertise with other people. How about the study room? Did you come up with any things that you admire? Anything that your humble people are...
They don't seek attention. Recognition.
Okay. There's no job that they consider, too lowly to do.
Watch for that in the film. There's a little tiny bit of that in the film. You'll see that. It's not a big deal, but okay. Seems to me humble people are willing to step aside. Maybe we've kind of said that in other ways, but step aside and let other people shine even. All right, well, this episode is called the Pride of Fife, after the Bride of Fife. And you'll see Barney is in for a fall, and I hope you enjoy it. And just kind of watch the different characters and how they...
Oh, it's too far for that. Too close for that. I can't see anything that says famous.
I suppose the lens doesn't turn. That's too... That would be too mechanical.
That's too old-fashioned, isn't it?
That's what I'd go for.
Should we get the expert? What happened to our guy here?
But you can usually figure things out. Don't be so funny.
I know, but you're the one who always fixes everything.
Computer video.
It's upside down.
There's
an
episode. Oh, we got two of them coming.
We need you to focus this. Oh, you two did not. That was good.
We need to focus this.
Can you focus this for us?
It's out of focus.
Now you guys hit the button and maybe...
Yeah, they changed it to menu.
The menu button.
Shit out of it. Here, we'll just... Resetting. Maintaining calmness, reset.
Should we tell a joke about, I know we're supposed to not, we need to be careful about respecting groups, but since I'm Norwegian, we could tell Norwegian jokes about how many Norwegians it takes to focus a projection. Anybody claim to be of Norwegian background in this room? Nobody. Oh, you guys.
It's not our family.
Are you
Olean?
I think the funniest jokes I've ever heard are about dogs that go into bars, but I can never remember them.
I don't know what Klima about that.
Something's happening.
Shut
that again.
No,
it'll
take a
while.
It has to
be removed.
turn the power on?
Well, it's all black and white and fuzzy anyway, so maybe it
Our episode here is entitled The Big House. Barney will waltz around some prisoners he wants to impress, and we will study pride. Our key scripture is Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. With that in mind, let's begin the lesson. I'll be back after the show. Enjoy.
Whistle! Thanks, Governor. Very nice.
Oh, morning, Lieutenant.
Got some customers for you.
Good.
Plain clothes men are coming over from Memphis to pick them up. Be here this afternoon or in the morning.
Fine.
I don't think they'll give you any trouble. They're pretty well pushed.
Hi, bring them in.
Well, here.
Hi there, how are you?
They're all yours, Sheriff.
That does it.
Not quite, Sheriff.
Barney.
Please, Andy. Now, ma'am, there are a few things we ought to get straightened out right at the start to avoid any grief later on. Now, here at the Rock, we have two basic rules. Memorize them so that you can say them in your sleep. The first rule is, obey all rules. Secondly, do not write on the wall, as it takes a lot of work to erase writing off a wall. Now we tell all men when they get behind them, you are starting a new life. If you're wise, you'll begin rehabilitation.
Barney. Now, Barney, I got to go out and look for the tube that's still loose. Now, promise me you'll stay away from the prisoners.
You got nothing to worry about.
Make Homer stay away from them, too.
I told you the Mayberry Jail is going to be run as secure as the big house itself.
You said you had him stationed outside.
I do, ma'am. You give up?
Yeah.
I got him up there, man, in the blockhouse lookout. Look.
That's your lookout, huh? What's he got hiding in the bottom of his feet?
You're supposed to be watching.
Well, I know it, Ben. And I've seen some real fights.
He threw his truck splash mud all over Miss Fletcher, and I seen by old my Converse sneak out by our barn and have a dip of snuff. And her stalling or little
That's fine, Norman. Why don't you clean up these light bulbs here? We can use them next Christmas. And take that gun out of your mouth. Leave him on fire, and that ain't deputy's gonna be our free pass out of here. You're sure now? Okay, I'll get right up there. I got to go up to Carter Graham's place. Said he saw two men. Now look, Barney.
Don't give it a thought, Andy. Everything is A-okay.
Yes, sir. They sure run this place tighter than even the state pen.
Huh? Oh, sure.
Except for one thing.
What?
The shakedown. We've been here for hours. Not one shakedown.
Shakedown?
You know. All prisoners out while the screws make a surprise inspection of the mattresses for guns and knives and things. Oh, well. I guess you can't expect them to know those things out here in the sticks. Can't expect them to know about a shakedown.
All right, shakedown! Nice guy.
There's Gomer's gun. Now, Barney, I'm not going to have time to go after the other two if I have to keep catching these same two over and over again.
Just another small town lockup. Those other two might be tempted to come into town to try and spring their buddies loose.
Your chair sure does look like an easy box, Sheriff. No offense intended.
You mean you want to use our place as kind of a town trap?
Oh, we'd have the edge on it between us and your deputy. You do have some help, don't you?
Well, now, about that. Well, what makes you think the other two will try to bust their buddies loose?
Because there's no way. See, they tried it a couple of times before, and they really operate like a team.
Well, let's give it a try. Identify.
Move! Move! Get your hands up!
long race on the door. Inside, don't want to.
Well, Deputy, I hope you realize what you've done. Instead of capturing two more, you've now lost all four.
And it highlights the biblical principle of pride. The notes examine the way in which pride blinds us from seeing stumbling blocks. The lesson also illustrates why God deserves the glory for our accomplishment.
Mistakes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Stood in the way of his seeing what he was doing wrong.
Okay. Okay. What was he looking at? Oh. Big head?
Yeah. Fame.
Okay. Anything else?
I didn't hear what you said.
What was he looking at? She, in response to her question, what was he looking at? I said fame.
It caused him to overlook his mistakes.
Overlook his mistakes, yes. Not going for money.
Okay.
Well, do you think he picked Gomer so he'd look even better?
Kind of possibility. Okay. Does our pride have any other consequences?
Well, he couldn't even anticipate that anything would go wrong because those prisoners were so obedient, they responded so well to what he, you know, their training or whatever, that he couldn't imagine that anything would, you know, bad would happen.
Mm-hmm.
But he really didn't consider all the possibilities.
Okay. Well, this was a comedy, so we could be guaranteed pretty much there would be a good ending. But do you see in real life that pride has other kinds of consequences? Can we throw some of those out?
Pride can be harmful, very harmful to others. You don't realize how you may be harming someone because of you're so centered on yourself and your glory.
Okay. So we can hurt other people.
Okay. It causes you to let down your sense of caution. I'm just thinking of a very, very small example. I play in a handbell choir in our church, and I'm not a musician, so it's a, you know, major effort. And during a piece, if I did a little section that might be hard, well, if I start thinking about how well I did, I'd screw up the rest of the piece, you know. And it's just sort of a little metaphor for anything in life that you really can't start thinking about how good things. How well you did, because you can then forget all the standards you've set for whatever it is you're doing.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I think pride can sometimes blind us from the corporate body that we're a part of. You know, Barney was so full of himself that he couldn't even see what Andy did I thought Andy Griffith, I haven't watched these shows for ages, and it's real interesting coming back as an adult now and watching them. But he shows such good leadership, both in yesterday's and today's. And he knows Barney's failings and his weaknesses, and yet he doesn't embarrass Barney or, you know, expose his pride. He works with that to make a good thing happen. And Barney's failure is that he never sees that. He never says, thanks for covering my butt here. So he is just kind of really wrapped up in himself. But it prevents him from seeing what the rest of the community around him is doing to help him out and how he could be a better part of that. Do you see Barney as being manipulated?
Oh, I am.
Who had the power in this? What do you think allowed him to be manipulated? What made that happen?
His pride.
Pride.
Right. Also pretty naive.
His need for a sense of power in the situation as well. He needed to feel that he was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't see that he wasn't.
And what was his model for that? For his power?
The big house.
Yeah. Okay. I think comparisons can play a really powerful role in our kind of playing out of our prideful ways. What's a great teacher for pride? How are we confronted with our pride? In a way that, as Christine mentioned, Andy tried to save him from that to a certain degree, but there was a little bit at the end. What happened at the end with the gun? Literally almost shot himself in the foot. Okay, and what was the consequence for that?
He had to give it up.
He had to give the gun up. So in a way, he did have to pay. Andy wasn't going to let him go out the door without his gun. But what did that mean for Barney?
He's humiliated.
Yeah, he was humiliated. He was disgraced. That's one of the teachers that the Bible holds up. Let me look up a couple of passages here. Let's look up Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. Does anybody else need a Bible?
But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, not in his neighbor.
Okay. So what does that encourage us to do?
Look at what we've done and see whether it's what we wanted to do, but it's hard to look at your own work and make that kind of
make that kind of assessment.
Judgment.
Okay. Any other reactions?
I think what it's saying is that you should judge yourself and not judge others.
Okay.
And in that sense, pride can be positive.
Right. Okay. Good. Why don't we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Actually, why don't we start at verse 6.
I have applied all this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through the meaning of this saying, nothing beyond what is written, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? What do you do? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?
How does that put us in our place?
Everything comes from God.
Right.
So we can't take credit.
Does this all say that we can't be encouraged by our accomplishments? About the things that we do that have worked out, have been effective, and done what we wanted them to do? Where do you think the line is between how does when we talked about humble people in our lives beforehand, what's the difference between how a humble person celebrates an accomplishment and the line that crosses over into pride?
A humble person probably has we're talking about like a sense of personal joy and gratitude versus, you know, I did this all myself. Mm-hmm. It was my effort and my hard work.
I think think a humble person takes, sees themselves as an instrument of for God, that whatever they do or whatever they are able to do, their talents or gifts, are from God and not all from themselves.
I think there's also the comparison part, comparing what I've been able to do to what someone else has been able to do, and taking pride in either being better or feeling humiliated by not doing as well. That comparison is that judgment.
And does that affect how we accept our failures in life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things that we go about that don't work out as well as we want them to. That thought's just coming into my head.
I'm sure it would affect your self-esteem.
Right. Right. And how we can truly embrace some of those experiences as learning experiences. This is probably really a silly example, but I didn't know I'd have the opportunity to do some weaving here, and I had signed up for one class, and I was so intimidated about it that I let the one go, and then I kept coming back to it, and the teacher had re-signed me up again, and I just am not a crafty person at all, and it's not so much I hate failure, but I hate not finishing something, and you know, the finished product. To me, that's the accomplishment. And I ended up doing that, and after we're done today, I'm going to go down and finish tying off my fringes. And I was really pleased that I'd taken the risk to do this, because it did give me a lot of joy. And I'm not going to go hang it up in the dining hall or anything, but I don't know quite how I'd be feeling about it if I hadn't been able to finish it, or if it, yeah. I was trying not to stake too much of my ego into my weaving. So. How do you see pride as working within our churches, within our communities? See your congregations being places that are bursting with pride, and or do you see people interacting with one another more humbly and in service? Any thoughts about that?
These are difficult things, I think. I'm just thinking of our own congregation, and we're working a lot in evangelism right now to try to, because it's the congregation has been kind of just plateaued for a while, and it's in a position in a neighborhood that's really undergoing a wonderful transition, and it's a time of new life for the congregation, I think, to take some big steps in a new direction. And I think I love members of the congregations I serve to be proud of their churches, and not proud in a bad way, but enthusiastic about the word that they're hearing there, the community that they're experiencing, the programs that they're doing. That's the best evangelism tool we have, I think, is an excited member who just can't stop talking about their congregation. And so I want that kind of pride in, I think, I seek to nurture that pride as a pastor. But then there's very bad pride, too, that can be very unhealthy in a community. And then what's the difference between pride and, because there's ambition that's really destructive, but there's also really good ambition. And if a congregation has no ambition for itself, it means no hope, no dreams, no mission. I don't know, it's just fascinating to sit here and think about all the aspects of what's good pride and what's bad pride, I guess, is part of what I'm sitting here struggling with a bit.
Well,
I guess something that I consider here, what, just hearing what you're saying, is that pride in the process is the good for me. It's the pride of the joy of being able to do something, the weaving. Or one of the things that my church has recently done as part of its centennial celebration is build a home with a Habitat for Humanity. And the pride that the church feels, not in the finished product, but in the process. And if we were to be prideful and say, oh, we built this home for someone who is poor, that's kind of the negative pride, where you're looking at the outcome and how it makes you.
That's a great idea, too.
Wonderful.
I think negative pride is connected a lot with power.
Yeah.
How much power you have and prideful about it.
Mm-hmm.
Can be very destructive.
Well, that was such the neat thing about how Andy behaved at the end of the film, is that he was so willing. He was the one in charge. He's the one that bailed the whole situation out three times. And yet he was willing to step aside for the sake of his work made. I was really wrestling when I was thinking about the kind of opening question that we dealt with focusing on other humble people in our lives. I was even thinking now, if I ask them to think of something they're proud of, you know, would they respond? And then I thought, well, maybe if I ask them to take share something that they take pride in, and somehow that sounds easier to me, or less proudful to think of something that I take pride in than something I'm proud of. Just a matter of use of words, I guess. But well, it's 10:00, and I appreciate you all coming. Thank you very much, and I hope. Hope you've enjoyed this little bit of holy hilarity. And how many are leaving today?
Two.
We kind of sorted through the week together, so thank you so much. And it's been my joy, and